to the Prime Evening News for today, Tuesday, October 27, 2015. I'm your presenter, Linda Martin. In the headlines, UWP Eastern District Committee leader says constituents are pressuring Education Minister Peter St-Jean for urgent results. Two masked men robbed the Castle Comfort gas station on Monday night and shot a security guard in the leg. Salisbury MP asked Wasco to take urgent action to restore water to long-suffering West Coast residents. Vincentian and Trinidadian appear in court for murder of couple in Tobago. And U.S. to investigate officer-pupil crash in South Carolina. The news is brought to you Compliments Courts Dominica Limited. Details of these stories and more coming up.
Your style, your taste, your look. As individual as you are. Find the furniture piece that's right for you, only at Quartz. Choose from our wide selection of fresh new designs, luxurious comfort, and contemporary elegance. Best of all, it's more affordable than you think. So create the room that's all about you. Come into Quartz today, where furniture is fashionable. Quartz, bringing value home.
Welcome back. Former Education Minister and leader of the Education Committee for the United Workers Party, Team Dominica, Mr. Ron Green, says the comments made by Minister for Education Peter St-Jean, wherein he discredited the Minister of Public Works and Ports, Ian Pienaar, came about due to the pressure being placed on him by his constituents to get much more results in dealing with the problems that they are facing following the passage of Storm Erica.
Putting more pressure on Peter St-Jean has caused him, I think, to crack. He has not responded because the people have a genuine request. Get us out of the cage. People are in and out of PT Savan every day. All we need is to get access over the Table Shield into PT Savan, and we ourselves will be able to do our business. We have buses, you have farmers, you have businessmen in Dailies who, there's no gas in Dailies, for example. Bosses who normally make a living by transporting people are stuck in Dailies. And we're getting a 6 for a 9 in regard to the access bridge. We were told 4 months by the Minister Pienaar. We were told most recently a few weeks. And there seems to be the movement in terms of the vertical board seems to be going astray. So I believe that is the cause of these remarks, trying to get the blame and the shame out of the guys because he has not been performing, he has not been able to respond to the genuine request of the people of Dailies, who normally use that route through Titavan to do their business. And are feeling now that they are being denied the opportunity to have access. Almost all the focus seems to be on the vertical board, and that is not going well.
Green says the Dailies to Petit Savan Road can easily be made accessible by vehicles after some cleanup is done, taking into consideration the statements made by specialists.
The professionals or the engineers have advised that Petit Savan, it's a dead zone. You know, it's not recommended to do anything there. We should just abandon Petit Savan entirely.
Yeah.
Because of its vulnerability.
Yeah.
So, how do you respond to that? I mean, in that light, would you still recommend access roads?
The people of Dailies are not looking to occupy or to reside in Kisitavan.
Or is it temporary?
Access. They want to pass through. And the fact is that buses and cars right now, as of the 26th, that today I was in Kisitavan, I do have easy and regular access to Kisitavan. That's all the people are looking for, access. If the professional decision after weighing all the facts are that Kisitavan is uninhabitable and cannot be considered to go forward as a village of people can live, that decision comes, then that decision comes, and the issue of access road would have to be considered then. But we're talking about right now, we're talking 2 full months have passed, and there is access to Kisitavan.
He added that the road through Kisitavan does not have to be permanent. It could be used temporarily until a permanent solution is created, and that would ease the hardships being faced by the residents of Dalis and surrounding areas.
Well, one of the things I would agree with personally would be, I think you would as well, make it a temporal access point until something is...
Once the political goal is sorted out, then there's permanent access on the other side. And if you wish to then close your Kisitavan access because of professional, ground erosion or instability or whatever, then you go ahead.
And two men robbed the Castle Comfort gas station on Monday night and shot a security guard in the leg. The security guard who was on duty at the Rubis filling station in Castle Comfort on Monday, October 26, 2015, is now a patient at the Alfred Ward of the Princess Margaret Hospital following the armed robbery. A report from Sergeant Pelham John Baptist, a member of the Dominica Police Public Relations Committee, confirmed that the incident occurred at about 8:45 p.m. on Monday. And two men wearing masks, one armed with a firearm, robbed the Rubis filling station at Castle Comfort. An unspecified amount of cash was stolen from the filling station by the robbers, he reported. In the process, a male security guard on duty at that filling station sustained a gunshot wound to his upper left leg, and the injured man was taken to the PMH for attention by a doctor. He is now a patient on the Alfred Ward, John Baptist continued. The police are soliciting the support of the general public as their investigation into this matter continues. Persons with information can call the Criminal Investigations Department at 266-5165 or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-8477. Deputy political leader of the United Workers' Party, Joshua Francis, is saddened by the conditions of some of the children in his constituency. Mr. Francis states that sometimes when driving around his constituency, he finds a few children on the roadside, and many of them are below the age of 16.
Sometimes when I make my rounds in my constituency, I will come across certain young persons who are 14 or 13 or even 12 years old who say to me that they are not at school, and that would bother me. I find it extremely difficult to accept that a 12-year-old who is supposed to be at school is not at school. I will make an inquiry to find out from the parents why is it that particular child is not at school. And most times I do not get a proper explanation, except that sometimes parents say to me they do not have the means. Personally, that bothers me, because to me, every child is supposed to be at school. There is a system, universal education system, which provides for every child to be at school, and therefore the responsibility is on the parents. But sometimes children are not properly supervised. Sometimes children, parents themselves need parenting, and therefore society has to step up and take that moral responsibility to ensure that that child is at school. And it is on that basis that I have undertaken a responsibility or a task to ascertain how many children were supposed to be at school and not at school in my constituency. In other words, I'm in the process of making an inventory of children who are under 16 years old, supposed to be at school and not at school.
Francis says as a result of this growing trend in the Roseau South constituency and Dominica by extension, he has taken on the task to conduct a thorough survey to determine the number of boys and girls under the age of 16 who are out of school, and a strategy will thereafter be put in place to assist in rectifying the problem.
Once I get that information, then I could engage the social welfare department, the schools where the children are supposed to be attending, and other stakeholders to address an issue which I believe is very important. Of course, in the Rosenthal constituency, I would love to see every child at school, whether the child is academically oriented or technically oriented. We know that we have a high unemployment rate, and somehow the young persons who are not in a formal education system should be in some kind of training system. Of course, the better option for a young person, if he or she is not at school, is to be at work. But the current circumstances in Dominica makes it very difficult for a young person to obtain a job. But even if jobs are available, as I said, a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old who hasn't completed high school should be at school. We have to find a way to keep our children at school. We have to find a way to encourage our parents to help our children to be at school. And sadly, those children who are not at school when they are supposed to be at school are poor people's children. Mm. The reality is that children who are often shine at school are children who, whose parents can afford classes, extra classes. Tutorship is becoming a big thing in Dominica. Even after the common entrance results, we should take the opportunity to find out why is it that some schools do better than others? Why is it that a school starts, a secondary school starts with 200 students, and by the time that 200, well, by the time the new entrants get to fifth form, we have 80, or there'll be, you know, 60% success rate?
Mm.
These are the type of questions we have to ask, because we need to advance our society.
Meantime, former Education Minister and leader of the UWP Eastern Education Committee, Mr. Ron Green, describes the comments made by MP for the Rosa South constituency, Joshua Francis, about the increasing school dropout rates in Dominica as being timely, necessary, and factually correct. Mr. Francis is in the process of discussing with stakeholders all possible means of solving the student dropout issue in the Rosa South constituency and in the nation by extension. Francis said a statistical survey will soon be conducted. Mr. Green says it is true that there is a dropout issue re students from high school and the college. The former education minister pointed out that he personally knows some of the college students who were somewhat forced to drop out of school due to the lack of financial aid and resources, which creates a conducive environment for learning, and this seems to be one of the main reasons why secondary and tertiary students are dropping out of schools.
Well, that is obviously, he would probably have access to the statistics, and to the extent that that is actually happening, I wouldn't be surprised. It is indeed an issue of great concern. I suspect the issue of dropouts at the college level, too, is probably extremely high. I am aware of a few students that were unable to complete their associate degree because of issues at the college that prevented them from actually getting the right passes at the right time. So there are serious issues regarding tertiary dropouts and secondary school dropouts which need to be properly aired and discussed. I because of the fact that the Minister of Education, Saint Peter Saint Jean, has not been fully transparent and accountable in the context of the education report that we expect annually, so that people like myself, a former minister, and other teachers and parents and interested persons will have a full and clear understanding of what's going on in education. Because of a lack of this report, we don't have those specific statistics that will be able to help us to analyze it and make suggestions as to how to go forward. But clearly, that issue of dropouts is a major issue, to the extent that Honorable Joshua Francis has observed it and commented on it. I support him.
MP for the Salisbury constituency, Honorable Hector John, has commented on the water issues in his constituency and on the West Coast in general. John says there is a serious shortage of water within his constituency and going all the way up to Bioche and Dublin across the West Coast. John informed that a water infiltration system which was set up recently to help those in need in the Salisbury area. However, that system is inadequate to supply the needs of the residents in other surrounding communities in the area. He is calling on DWASCO to do more to restore the water supply of the West Coast communities who have been in dire need of an adequate supply of water for drinking and bathing and for other essential sanitation purposes since August 27, 2015.
The
intake and also in Monmouthshire Heights as well. So Coolibistry Heights. So Grand Savan, way back to Capuchin there on the West Coast Water Project. And so, you know, Coolibistry, Monmouthshire, Grand Savan, Sauls, Recolio, Dubla, Bios, they were affected. And they have been affected from since that time. And it's a lot of problems in terms of water because the entire system in the heights of Coolibistry got compromised. Salisbury, we did our best to assist the WAS school. They gave us a temporary intake, but it has been on and off for the past couple of weeks. There are some parts of the village that haven't gotten water for about a week now, and that is a serious concern for us. The people of Dawasco, they have been there trying to do their best to rectify the problem. Thank God we have a water purification system that that was installed by the Salisbury Health Center, thanks to Darren Louis, young Dominican living in England, who was there during the storm and did his best to assist, and others doing their best to ensure that it continues. I mean, the principal of Salisbury School, Burton Vidal, who is part of SEC, Mr. Bernard Nation, who is an engineer in the area, they're doing their best to ensure that that system continues to function. But it's a strain on the system because when you have in Salisbury about 1,000 households, and this tank only produces about 1,400 or 1,500 gallons a day. So we know.
Mr. John added that he has spent quite a bit of time in discussions with officials at Dawasco to try and solve the water issues of the West Coast. Reports indicate that apart from having a shortage of water, there is also the issue of possible contamination of the river water.
So we know they're doing their best, but we want them to do much better. We want them to do better than their best right now for us, because it's a strain for everybody in the community. They have to be going to Mero for water every day. Some people, the sometimes have the water for 1 hour, and they might be sleeping when the water comes, and that is a problem for us. And not only Salisbury, but Monmouthshire, they promised Monmouthshire 2 Sundays ago that they would have gotten water, and we have not seen water in Monmouthshire again as yet. And we have Dawasco was sending a truck there, truck with water, and I think they stopped the frequency. That truck goes up to Monmouthshire, Coolibistry, Colio, Biosh, Dubla. So I'm speaking more or less for the entire West Coast. We have a serious water problem. We want Dawasco to address it. We had some trucks. I think Hillary Shillingford has a water tank on his truck, and he has been excellent. I think Dawasco have to rethink the agreement with him, because that is a serious concern. He was bringing water for every community, along with another truck from a different area. Now I see the Dawasco truck is around as well. The schools have been in and out because they cannot function without water at the school as well. So you have 2 schools right presently at the Salisbury Primary School building. You have the Coolibistry Primary School is there temporarily, and also the Salisbury Primary School. So they cannot function without water, and that is a concern for us. They do not get drinking water on time, bottled water on time as well, because there's a shortage on island. So we have some serious water constraints on the West Coast.
Social activist Arthi Martin says today's generation of youth appear to be fearless in the pursuit of their desires, and though previous generations may not agree with the subject of their pursuit, their persistence is a quality to be admired and should be engaged and assisted to be channeled in positive directions.
Sue, I rarely find the young people fearless about the things that they believe in. We may not agree with what they believe in, but you can bet your bottom dollar they go after what they believe in. They pursue what they decide is important for them. We may not agree with what they have decided is important, but we have to agree that they are fearless about pursuing it. To a fault, taking tremendous risk to get that particular outfit, that particular brand, that particular phone, that particular whatever it is, We may find it frivolous. But there's a quality of fearlessness and persistence in today's young people about what they believe they want that we need to pay some attention to.
Mazen referred to the many young individuals in South Africa following in Nelson Mandela's revolutionary footsteps, although they only knew him as president throughout their lives. He remarked that in light of all that the youth have done, one must be careful when characterizing the current generation as frivolous.
And of South Africa. Do you see what's going on in South Africa today? There's a whole new generation of 20 and 21-year-olds, the children of that revolution, who only knew Nelson Mandela as the president of South Africa. And they are making new demands. They are demanding the economic revolution. And they're making their voices heard. These are 20-year-olds, 17, 18, 19. So we need to be really careful when we characterize young people as being frivolous. We need to be really careful about that.
In more news, of Vincentian and Trinidadian man are behind bars on remand after appearing in court today charged with the murder of the British-born attorney Richard Willer and his wife in Tobago last week. Najib Hills, a 23-year-old Vincentian who has been living in Tobago for the past 3 years, and 29-year-old local Andre Romeo appeared in the Scarborough Magistrates Court and were remanded in custody until November 24th. It is the first court appearance for the two construction workers since they were charged yesterday evening for the murders, which occurred sometime between October 18th and October 21st. And the U.S. Justice Department is looking into why a female student in South Carolina was pulled from her desk by an officer and dragged across a classroom. Spokeswoman Dina Iverson said the investigation will look into the circumstances surrounding the arrest to see if a federal law was broken. The incident occurred at Spring Valley High School in Columbia when the unnamed student refused to leave class. Video shows the officer knocking her down and pulling her across the floor. And that's the Prime Evening News, but first a recap of our headlines. UWEP Eastern District Committee leader says constituents are pressuring Education Minister Peter St-Jean for urgent results. Two masked men rob a Castle Comfort gas station on Monday, shooting a security guard in the process. Salisbury MPs asked Tuwasco to take urgent action to restore water to long-suffering West Coast residents. Vincentian and Trinidadian appear in court for murder of couple in Tobago. U.S. to investigate officer-pupil clash in South Carolina. The news was brought to you through the very kind compliments of Ports Dominica Limited. Remember, if you missed any of our newscasts, log on to our website at www.q95da.com to view the stories, or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. On behalf of the entire news team, I have been your presenter, Linda Martin.